Good evening, faithful listeners. You are listening to The Blowhole on Finsider Radio. The 2018 NFL season is officially in the books.
Over.
Tonight, you have myself, James Radio, my co-host, Rob Cast, to ring in the offseason, welcome in our new head coach, and discuss what an awful Super Bowl that was.
It wasn't that. Well, the...
Yes, it was.
The result was awful.
Well, the good news is I took your advice and bet the $47,000 on the Patriots.
See? I told you, people.
Yeah. So I came back with close to 100 grand.
Make lemonade out of that.
Yeah. So it was good. So that was good. But in all seriousness, that was not at all how I thought that game was going to go down. Very, very surprised to see the lack of offense on either side. I knew both teams had good defenses, but... You know, statistically, they weren't that great. They both looked vulnerable in the playoffs for the most part. I guess it was just great scheming by Wade Phillips and one Brian Flores, your new Miami Dolphins head coach.
Man, well, I mean, everybody knows Belichick doesn't know anything about defense, so that had to be all Flores.
Give him credit for the blitz.
Yeah,
did you see that?
That's true.
The blitz that led
good
to the
call,
interception.
He said, good call.
Yeah. So, but no, I mean... Geez, I can't. There has never been a Super Bowl that was that low scoring. So, but I can't recall. I guess actually a recent memory that the Broncos Panthers game was also extremely low scoring. There was a defensive touchdown in that game. But yeah, that was a really boring Super Bowl as well in terms of offensive output.
But see, I mean, people want to say like terrible game or whatever, but that was a lot more watchable than Seattle Denver. Although it was fun watching Denver,
yeah, that
Denver
was pretty
get destroyed.
Fun.
But it wasn't that. That was a terrible game. This was a close game. That was a great defensive game. It wasn't. It wasn't this rainy, slushy thing. It wasn't a bunch of overthrows. It wasn't terrible offenses. It just happened to be great defenses schemed to win. It was boring. The average, fan doesn't want to watch it, but our listeners. They're football fans. They might have enjoyed that.
That's fine. I enjoy watching defense play. You don't get to see a lot of great defensive performances. It was just unfortunate that it was the Patriots that were authoring it. Although the Rams did a very, very good job on defense as well for three quarters.
Yeah.
Three and a half quarters.
Well, I mean, you can't cover a wide receiver that's, coached as well as the Julian Edelman.
That's true. That's very true. And one that's jacked up on steroids as much as he is.
Oh, my God. I knew he was suspended. After one of those first downs, he did that flex thing, and I'm like, "Oh my god, that guy is." For some reason, I don't think of him as jacked.
Yeah,
that guy is jacked.
Yeah,
I mean, it's cheating.
Sure. Yeah, of course, 100%.
And you realize if this was baseball rules,
he would not have been able to play in the postseason.
That is correct.
I do know that. I mean,
it's the rules. They cheat. And then within the rules, like what their wins are within the rules because they're cheating. They've been punished for their cheating. Mm. So there you go.
Ho hum. Another year. Another Patriots Super Bowl. I'm so
all the more
so
sweeter
tired of this
for when it's over.
That is true. Yeah, and there appears to be no end in sight.
There's an end.
I thought. Yeah. Whatever. We've been on record as talking about how we thought this was going to be. The end of the Patriots this season many times, and it just played right into their new...
Their nobody believes in us. I mean, to be fair...
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, it does feel a little bit... It does feel a little bit like Brady's, like, picking his spots now. Like that Steelers game. Like,
yeah.
It felt like he didn't, do what, like, that they could have won. But he's like, I don't have to win this game. I have to do that in the playoffs. And then when they got to the playoffs, he was Brady. And
Gronkowski, I just don't understand. I mean, the guy seems so slow and so, like, I guess he's just,
he's huge. He's got great hands.
Impossible to cover.
But he's also smart. You know what I mean? Like, if you're blocking, well, yeah, obviously. But honestly, I think Brady's only football smart.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that guy's not bright. But, I mean, he's great at football. And
yeah.
That's all he needs to be.
So, I guess observations from the game. Goff looked like a deer in headlights the entire time. I was very, very surprised. Because I've seen the Rams play a number of times this year, and they looked more than capable on offense, and they just were out of sorts the entire evening.
I still the
Gurley's
the
not
100% thing is weird.
Yeah,
to come out and say he's not having surgery on the injury that doesn't exist means something's weird.
agreed. He didn't look right,
but he never looked right.
Yeah,
he hasn't looked right since that injury.
Yeah. CJ Anderson, you know, is going to do what CJ Anderson, you know, he was fine. I mean, he was the better running back of the two for the Rams in that game, but he is CJ Anderson. Robert Woods, did he even catch a pass?
I'd have to look at the stats, but he was not. I mean, he was targeted, but he wasn't really a factor.
Yeah, I mean, Cooks made a couple catches, but he dropped that touchdown. I mean, and then the interception happened on the next play. So, Brandon Cooks. You got to make that catch. I mean, that would have made the game a lot more interesting.
I mean,
to say the least.
Stats wise, I mean, the guy had a good game,
decent game.
So it's for a team that scored 3 points. I mean,
yeah. I mean, and their offensive line was not protecting Goff well either. They seemed to be getting pressure on him without blitzing much.
But I mean, they were. I mean, there were in any of those like third down plays. Didn't know who was coming. I mean, Flores did a great job. I mean, the way those, and Romo pointed it out, I mean, the way those guys are moving, he's like, they're only going to send four or five, but you tell me which ones. I don't know. You don't know.
Right.
And that's what would happen, you know, and you see you miss it. And that's
the Belichick.
You know what? I can't get ahead because we'll probably talk more about Flores. We'll talk about it more in the second. But, you know, I've just been spending the last 3 weeks talking myself into how great and how excited I am for the Flores era. Cause there's no, like we've said in the past, there's no point in being negative about it.
No, for sure.
I might as well just hope for the best. And then if it stinks, it stinks, but like, I'm going to pretend like they're going to be great.
Looking at the past. I mean, Belichick's been a coach of the Patriots now since, what was it? 1999 when he took over, or 2000, right around then. He's had, Romeo Crennel was his defensive coordinator to start, who ended up becoming a head coach who was not a good head coach. Then after Crennel, it was Mangini, I believe, who then went on to the Jets and was also not good.
Had a good year.
Did he?
Yeah, he was even on the... Oh my God, the cat's going to turn the computer off. He was on The Sopranos. That's how good he had that one year.
Oh, that's right. The Mangenius. So that's right. I remember they referred to him as that. Okay. So there was Eric Mangini after Romeo Crennel, who then went on to be a head coach. Also did not do very well. Overall had one good season with the Jets, I think. And then, man, your cat is annoying. Oh man. He has never been in here when we've done this for some reason, I guess. Okay, so...
he's a big Dolphins fan. He was mad that he hasn't been on any of the tests.
I guess,
yet.
Yeah. I'm waiting for him to say something in the microphone. So Mangini flamed out in New York, then went on to Cleveland for a couple seasons, did nothing there. He did destroy the Patriots once, I remember. There was a very bad Cleveland team, really beat up on the Patriots one game.
Somebody had a tweet of all of the basically the
no I know I'm
the
just
coaching
kinda,
the coaching tree and it's none of it's good.
I'm focusing on the defensive side. I know Charlie Weiss on offense went to college.
Bill O'Brien,
yeah, that's true, and he's done well. On the defensive side, so after Mangini, was it Patricia after Mangini? Was he the one that took over the defense after that?
I don't even know, because they go through years without having this year.
I'm just saying. I mean, Belichick does those things, like exactly what you said, what Romo was pointing out, like where they're very exotic rush schemes. They're not even, like you said, it's only four or five guys coming, but you don't know which four or five. And he's been, you know, it drove Peyton Manning nuts at the beginning, of that Brady versus Manning, rivalry that started. And then it just... None of the other coordinators that have gone on to be NFL head coaches have seemed to have similar success with their teams or their defenses. So enter Brian Flores. I guess we're done talking about the Super Bowl. There really wasn't a lot to talk about. The halftime show was horrid as well. You said you didn't watch it.
I purposefully did not watch it.
Yeah, no, you didn't miss anything. I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be good. Maroon 5 is awful. I saw a great meme the other day that was a hand passing a baton, and the wrist on the hand was tattooed Nickelback, and the baton said worst band ever, and the hand receiving it was tattooed Maroon 5 on the wrist. I thought that was,
I like that.
It was a really, really great meme. But yeah, it was terrible. You know, give Adam Levine credit. He didn't lip sync. They didn't lip sync. That was all.
I'm not.
That was
him
and all of his terrible.
He's a musician. His job, his literal one job, is to sing.
Yeah, he was terrible. Then he took his shirt off, which was great.
What? I mean, those are real? I mean, that's really, he really put all those on him, like on the guy who sings for Maroon 5, all those tats?
Yeah, because he's tough.
Oh, my God.
He's real tough. He's a real tough dude. Anyway, yeah, it was awful.
So when are you having your tattoos removed?
I only have two, so.
Yeah, but they're big.
I mean, they're big. They are big. But anyway, yeah, no, I'm not having my tattoos. My tattoos are cool.
His I would think that SpongeBob one you'd have removed after they did after he ruined that SpongeBob song.
That was another thing. You kept saying that off air. I don't recall hearing any SpongeBob songs, but I guess that happened, I suppose. So, yeah, the halftime show was horrid. But hopping back onto the Patriots coaching train for defense. So the Patriots defense was phenomenal in the Super Bowl. Rams defense was phenomenal as well. Patriots defense was a little bit better. I think obviously the Patriots had a little bit more experience at quarterback. Ultimately, I think that's what ended up winning the game for them.
Well, that's what we said when we went before the games, when we said we would have rather Breeze and Peyton, right, than Goff for
right.
Just this very reason. Like, I don't think they're holding Breeze to 3 points.
Yeah, I was just, I mean, like I said, I was just surprised. I mean, last year was Foles and Peterson, and they tore them to shreds last year. So. Anyway,
who was the defensive coordinator
for the Pats?
Yeah.
Oh, Patricia, you're
exactly.
Right. Exactly. Oh, I did see, that was another thing that I was going to bring up, because now that we're talking about, so we're into Flores taking over. So,
well, I mean, let's not push it. I mean, we got to talk about something a little later.
Well, no, I know. But I'm just saying, I mean, these are things that I actually, that I saw this week in a lot of the clippings with Flores officially being named the coach. The Patriots defense didn't really change personnel wise from 1 year to the next. And they were statistically, a much better unit, this year.
And they started awful.
That's true. That is true.
But they morphed. The whole team morphed. I mean, that's the credit to Belichick. Like, this team learned what it is, changed its identity, and did what it needed to do. But
as
that
it
defense,
usually does.
That those slow linebackers, like, that was not a good defense, and all of a sudden there's guys like McCourty covering the field, like wide open guys, and he's running. I don't know how they're covering that distance and knocking those balls away. I mean, it was insane.
Yeah. So, I mean, credit where credit's due. Patriots were the better team on Sunday. Man, I hate them. But yeah, another. Six Super Bowls for them.
But I hate them because they're great.
This is true. So leading into Flores and the job he did, and obviously I think we're in agreement that a majority of this is Belichick, just because this is what we've been seeing over the years, is the defensive coordinators in New England have been interchangeable, and the defenses have continued to be...
All coordinators.
Good to great. Yeah. Well, yeah.
The offensive coordinator, same thing.
Yeah, that is true. Well, they have, I mean, you know...
Anyway. They last a little longer, but...
Yeah, and then there's all the cheating as well, which goes into it.
It helps.
It does. But Flores, for the most part, I guess maybe it is just us talking into him. He seems different or feels different than some of these other guys.
So here's the one thing, my Flores thing, that made me first completely angry, and then I was happy for it. So... He was on, there was like interview with him. And I think actually it was, again, Pro Football Talk.
Yeah.
Had him on in the interview. So I put it on and I listened to the first like 3 minutes, and it's the most boring thing in the world. It made me angry how nothing he said and how boring. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this is the guy. And then I'm like, oh, that's Belichick. I mean, you don't give anybody anything ever. So I'm like, all right, maybe this guy's learned something. Maybe we will have a baby Belichick and get to do some of the things that he does.
I guess the one the Belichick coaching tree hire that is probably the most similar to Belichick that I've seen has been O'Brien, like in terms of demeanor. Like, you know, Charlie Weiss was like kind of a boistery, fiery kind of guy. Crennel was quiet, but he didn't, no offense to Romeo Crennel, didn't seem like the sharpest of football minds. Patricia kind of strikes me the same way. Like, he just kind of seems, you know,
like a guy who carries a pencil for a laminated sheet.
Yeah, yeah. Mangini is kind of the same way. And McDaniels is very boisterous as well. And, you know, and just does it. Yeah, so Flores does seem to have that he seems, from the interviews and, you know, from the press release, you know, or the press conference for his hire, like, he seems thoughtful, well-spoken, intelligent. But you're like you said, quiet.
But he's been in the organization a while too. It's not like, right, he hasn't been there for 2 years. It's like he's watched this. He sees how it works, yep, over the long haul.
Yeah, he started as an offensive assistant. Actually, he was an offensive assistant in 2010, and I guess that was one of the years that the Patriots had they had the number one offense in football that year. He also served as a special teams assistant coach as well, before moving to the defensive side of the ball, which I believe he started in 2014 as defensive assistant. This is his first year, obviously, calling the plays, and he wasn't the full-time coordinator. He was the linebackers coach. Correct. So promising, I guess. I mean, we'll see. Like I said, nobody knows anything.
There's so many things. You know what? You know what has really helped? I mean, Bill Belichick is a great coach. You know what has separated him from just the other really good coaches?
Cheating.
Well, besides cheating, Tom Brady. Tom Brady is a great quarterback.
Also a cheater.
And you know what separated Tom Brady from the other great quarterbacks?
Cheating.
Bill Belichick. The two of them together is, most teams are lucky to get one.
What's the common thread?
Cheating.
All right, there we go.
But being serious, they'd both be successful without each other, but I don't think you're talking, you know, six Super Bowls, six out of eight. Is it six out of nine?
I don't know.
Six out of eight? Six out of nine? That's
six
insane.
And three. Six and three.
Been to nine. That's insane.
I know, it's insane. Yes. It's
so, I mean, it's two great things.
Did you see the local station in Pittsburgh where Tom Brady was on the screen, and whoever the producer was put under it said Tom Brady, known cheater underneath the,
yeah,
and he was fired.
But still,
totally worth it.
Yeah,
totally worth it. So kudos to that local television producer in the Pittsburgh area.
So I did see, so I'm going to mess up all the names. So the Bengals, they got their new head coach who didn't fare so well on the Super Bowl.
Zach Taylor, who was Ryan Tannehill's quarterback coach for some time, actually.
He was. Wow, what a guy.
Yeah.
And then that Jared Goff, boy, he looks good.
I mean, Goff is a good quarterback, but.
Well, I mean, I'd take him. I'd rather him over our situation, but I don't. And he's played well, but I don't know if he's good because he looked terrible.
He's a good quarterback.
They just hired another ex-Dolphin coach.
Who did?
The Bengals.
Oh, they did?
Zach Taylor. The guy they fired for the Bullygate, the offensive line coach. Not the cocaine guy. The guy who was mentioned as the one knowing that the bullying was happening.
Yeah, I forgot his name. Did you know his name?
It was in the article. I don't remember it. But yeah. But it was funny.
Those guys are both from Philbin's staff.
Right.
That's a good coaching tree that you want to hire off the Joe Philbin coaching tree.
But it was funny because like in his interview, he's like, we're only getting the certain kind of people, quality people or whatever. And the next guy he hires is like somebody who's had a scandal. And I don't know how much.
Was Bill Lazor not available?
Yeah, exactly.
Who else?
Should have got the cocaine guy.
That was on Gase's staff. That's Chris Forster. He was on the Buccaneers staff as well, along like on Gruden's.
Look, he's the cocaine guy. That's all
I know.
You got to know.
I know. So good.
And hookers. Or was it stripper?
It's a fine line there.
I know, but you know, I don't want to offend. There is a line.
It's yeah.
Not, some have a hyphen, but for a lot, it's a line.
Fair enough. So getting away from the degenerate coaching staffs that have been hired by the Dolphins in the past, Flores seems like he's putting together a pretty decent staff. I mean, O'Shea is was named the offensive coordinator today. He was the wide receivers coach for New England. Julian Edelman speaks very highly of him, so he must have a good hookup for PEDs.
Exactly. Our guys are going to be jacked.
I would be fine if they get that kind of production out of our wide receivers. They're going to need a quarterback first, but we'll talk about that later as well. So O'Shea, and then Caldwell will be, you know, Jim Caldwell will be the offensive assistant that's probably helping run the offense as well. So I like that. They haven't announced the defensive staff yet. I saw the Patriots hired Greg Schiano today to run their defense.
Oh, I did see that.
So that opened up one of the, I can't remember his name, is it Bielsma? There's a very other respected defensive coach that they have up there that now opens the door for him to come down to Miami to be the defensive coordinator. So I can't remember his name. We'll look that one up.
We'll go with Bielsebub.
Yeah, sure. Bielsebub. That'd be pretty cool.
I think the guy would probably know how to call some plays.
Yeah. Yes. So
can't write a love song though.
No, not to save his life. So yeah. That is, you know, we'll obviously be keeping an eye on that to see who the defensive coordinator is going to be. I did see an interesting article I believe it was the Palm Beach Post, maybe it was the Miami Herald, about they asked Flores if he was going to be switching to a 3-4. And he said he's going to be, you know, like the Patriots, running, you know, a hybrid defense, which I like that.
Of course. Yeah. Why wouldn't everybody?
No, I know. It makes so much sense. And I'm surprised that it hasn't been adopted. It's one of those things that's never been adopted. And that's one of the great things that Belichick does.
I do it in Madden all the time.
I know. You scheme for what offense you're playing. If it's, you know, run heavy, you scheme towards that. If it's a pass heavy offense, you've got to scheme towards that. You don't just play, you know, wide 9-4-3 all the time and let Kerryon Johnson run for 200 yards.
I do like Kerryon Johnson as a player, though. But yes, you're right. We shouldn't, and he shouldn't.
So no, that's refreshing to hear. So, but I wonder, they'll probably take that, because that's another thing that Belichick does as well, and the Patriots do on offense, is they run, you know, they set their offensive game plan to go against the strengths and weaknesses of that team. If it's a team that can't stop the run, they're going to run right down your throats. Exhibit A, the San Diego Superchargers in the playoffs this year. I know, and exhibit B, if they can't stop the pass, then they'll kill them with dink and dunks like they did to the Chiefs. So anyway, I like, those are things that get me excited. It seems like Flores is going to be that kind of guy. You know, at least take that philosophy, and it's going to be a while before this team is competitive. He seems like he's okay with that. That was another thing that came out this week. He's the only coach of this round of coaches to get a guaranteed fifth year on his contract, which says they're committed to this guy and the rebuild. So how do you feel about that?
So, you know what? That's a good topic to take after our little break right here.
As we go into our off-season primer?
As we go into our off-season primer, we're gonna listen to have a word from one of our sponsors right here.
Do you think it's Pura Still? Because I'm going to get another one of these. They're delicious.
I don't think it is.
We need to get them on.
They should be. All right. We'll be right back.
And we're back.
Woo!
So, how do you feel about the guaranteed fifth year for Brian Flores, and what do you think that means for this Miami football team moving forward?
So, it obviously means they're giving him a little longer leash, right? It's not like if you don't take us to the playoffs in year one, you're fired, because he's like, this team's not making it to the playoffs in year one. This team needs a rebuild. Kind of did the old Jack Nicholson Joker. This team needs an enema. So I like that they gave it to him, that they said, hey, now look, yes, it's possible. It's possible he's terrible and we waste 3 years trying to build something out of nothing. But
sure.
You have to give it a try. I mean, that's one of the biggest complaints I think some fans have had with the Dolphins, is they don't give anybody a chance to turn anything around. They're quick on the trigger to get rid of and start over. And I'm personally don't really feel that way. I felt like most people ushered out had run their course, but there, you know, something to be said to, you know, there's growing pains. Let people learn on the job and keep going. So
I feel like Sperano held on too long. I feel like Philbin held on
too
long.
Yeah, no, I'm saying I don't feel that, but I've seen the arguments made and I get it. You know, there's something to be said to it. So this allows, and one, he probably came and said, look, there's no quarterback. Maybe we get one, maybe we don't. But, you know, I need to build the culture. I need to do everything every coach says, you know, make this my team and do this stuff. And hopefully they allow him to do it, and hopefully it works.
Yeah, I guess that's what's That's what's strange to me, because I feel like Sperano came in off of, you know, he came in after a 1-15 season. I mean, you know, and that was that not a rebuild? Like they built a whole team.
We didn't go in thinking we were going to be 1-15.
No. He came in after 1-15, and then he went 11-5 and made the playoffs. And then, you know, he was ultimately let go. And then Philbin came in, and it was kind of the same thing. It wasn't like, you know, again, then they kind of cleaned house and Philbin came in. You know, he had his 4 years. I mean, and then they drafted Tannehill in Philbin's first year. So that was the beginning of the Tannehill era. Gase came in. Again, they kind of...
You mispronounced error.
Gase came in, and then it was, you know, they kept Tannehill and they kept some players, but they let a lot of guys go. And, you know, I mean, it was, again, a quote unquote rebuild. Like, I just, what is different about this one? Like, why is this one any different? Like, are we going to see them completely clean house? Completely? It's not like they didn't reset every single time they hired a new coach. Like, that's what I don't understand.
Well, but here's the thing. The guaranteed fifth year doesn't mean anything except that they'll give him more money if and when they fire him. I mean, it doesn't mean he's right. It doesn't mean anything.
Right.
It's just a tiny vote of confidence that I think the billionaire can afford to throw an extra couple of million dollars at this guy if he wants to get rid of him. I mean,
that's what we're going to see this offseason is we'll see exactly, like, I guess we'll see what, you know, a rebuild means for this team. I mean, what players are going to go? Like, so who, like... So who are the veterans on this roster? There weren't really a ton of them. Like, I mean, so Cameron Wake is a free agent. I'm assuming he doesn't come back.
Unless he desires to just play in Miami for another year or two as a situational player and takes a tiny contract, I'm sure someone else will pay him more and it'll be up to him. But yeah, he's not coming back.
I don't see. Yeah, Wake is, so he's not under contract. Guys that are under contract that are veterans. So we'll start with, we'll go from the, you know, Rashad Jones. He's probably the most talented senior guy that they have on the team.
And I love him.
Yeah, me too. He's a great player. Is that a guy that stays? I guess not. If you're listening to the narrative, like, I mean, I would imagine, and this is all speculative, obviously, but I would imagine he doesn't fit into this plan for a rebuild.
But, and that's what we'll see what this rebuild is, right? If he's under contract, I mean, you're not trying to get under the salary cap this year. If anything, you're waiting for a year or two to be able to make a push in free agency. So you don't need the cap space. I mean, so if you get rid of him and Wake and Quinton, well, not Wake, but not re-sign, but, you know, some of these guys.
Well, let's go down the list. Right. Yeah, we'll go down the list. So Jones, does he stay or not? All speculation, obviously. So you're Chris Greer and you're listening to Brian Flores, depending on, you know, do you keep this guy? I mean, you have no loyalty to this guy. He wasn't part of your draft. Maybe he was. Maybe he was a scout on the team at the time. I don't remember. Well, but regardless, do you keep Rashad Jones?
I mean, I'm not cutting him, right? To save cap space.
I'm
not cutting him, no. Because cap space doesn't do me any good. I'd rather have a good player than cap space. I would trade him if I can get a 3 or a 4.
I don't think they'd get a 3 or 4 for him. Maybe a 5. I mean, he's up there in age, too.
True, but I mean, but he's good.
He is good. Yeah. Okay. So you're holding on to Jones,
right? Or I mean,
next on the list, Kiko Alonso. He's kind of expensive. He's a good player. I don't really think he fits in that hybrid scheme. I think he's pretty much a 4-3 linebacker. I don't think he fits in a 3-4. I don't think. Maybe he's an inside 3-4. I mean, that's what he played in Philadelphia in the 3-4, and he wasn't very good.
I'm terrible at this game, even in my Madden franchises. I hate giving up players I have.
Okay.
I sign all my crappiest
players. So you're just
going
to keep all of them?
Well, I mean, if there's a cap, I'm fine with Jones going. I'm fine with Kiko going. Like, the money. If we need that cap space, if we need to free up cash, I don't want to spend, we don't need to spend a lot of money on Kiko Alonso. Would I rather, in a vacuum, a salary cap vacuum, would I rather have this team with him than without him? I'd rather have with him, even if unless he completely doesn't fit.
Okay.
But I don't see you getting much for him. I mean, maybe we get 6s or 7s.
All right. Robert Quinn. Now, this guy is scheduled to make I think, 13 or 14 million next year, and there's no penalty for cutting him. So also, he wasn't extremely productive this year, and he was playing in a system this year that was supposed to be tailored to his strengths.
You forgot the most important guy, but we'll talk about Quinn.
What? Who's the most important guy?
Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, no, we're getting to offense. We're getting to we're going down the defensive line first.
Because he hasn't been released yet. So
right.
Technically,
yeah,
it's
no,
still a
no,
decision.
No, 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 no. Robert Quinn.
Robert Quinn. Yeah, again, I mean, he's talent. Yeah, he's not worth the money. Fine. You want to cut him, you cut him with no penalty, fine. I get it, and I don't have a problem with it. If he's on the team, am I going to be mad? No. I'd be happy to put him out there, and because he's not a terrible player.
No.
He's just not a $13 million player.
He's been on record as well as, not this offseason, but in the past when he was on the, when the Rams switched to a 3-4, saying he, you know, that he was on that team and he didn't want to play in a 3-4. Right. So, yeah, so he's a guy that, I mean, so full disclosure, in my Madden season where I fired Gase and kind of cleaned house and did my draft and everything, I held on, I was able to hold on to all three of them and still stay under the cap. So I kept them because I think you need those, you know, at least some veteran presence.
Yes, but your Madden team is a playoff contender.
Correct.
This team is not.
Yeah. So I think in real life IRL, I think all three of those guys are most likely gone.
And Jones, you know what? Because Minka would be more natural back there. I get it, but God, I like that guy.
Yeah, but I think if this happens now, and now you're going to, so we're looking at the defense. We're going to talk about the offense in a second, but looking at the secondary. So Jones goes. That means now you can put McDonald at strong, Fitzpatrick at free safety, and then you can, now you have some money that you can lock down Howard for a while. And Howard was Greer's guy. Like Greer, that was like one of his, like, he was the one in the room that wanted to draft him. That's like one of, like, everybody pointing at, like, look, this guy knows what he's doing with personnel. This was his guy. He picked him. There's been talk of him being traded in the offseason. I don't see that. Like, that's a young building.
You can't.
That's a young
crazy
building block. Like, unless you get like some kind of crazy offer for draft picks,
but we
even
covered
then,
that
we covered
week.
That last week. Like, yeah. Hey, what are you going to do with those draft picks? So this is it's a superstar. He's going to be a star in the league for a while. I mean, I think that's the guy you hold on. So you build your secondary around Howard, Fitzpatrick, McDonald, who was solid last year. Bobby McCain's another one. He's under contract for, you know, he got a big contract last season. So he might be somebody that's expendable. I would like to, he's young though. I'd like to see them and capable.
Yeah,
I'd
I don't
like
mind
to see them
him.
Keep him. So, and then, you know, these are spots you don't have to focus on in the draft. The secondary is one of the few areas of this team that has depth and is strong.
And you need depth in the secondary.
Yeah. I mean, and whether or not they fit the system that Flores wants to play, I would imagine they do. So I guess we'll find out, but that's how I feel about the secondary. So the linebacking core, you have McMillan, you have Baker. Those guys are on rookie contracts. They're extremely affordable, whether or not, I mean, Baker showed some promise. I think McMillan wasn't that great.
I forgot to tell you this last week. Baker showed extreme promise in Madden. He was the defensive player of the year. Had like 25 sacks. He was amazing.
25 sacks?
Yeah, I tend to send him a lot.
That will never, ever happen in real life.
You let me be the linebacker coach and the defensive play
caller. Baker is a guy, too, that I feel like is really set to play in a 4-3. Not really much of a... He's not a 3-4 linebacker to me from what I see, but... Anyway, you have him, and then, I mean, Alonzo will most likely be gone. And then on the defensive line, they've got some work to do there. I think we're in alignment there. That's going to be an area they focus on in the draft. Especially if Quinn goes and they don't bring Wake back. You have Davin Godchaw. Akeem Spence is probably a guy that gets let go. Vincent Taylor's coming back from injury. Charles Harris was a first round pick that is starting to look like a bust now. So that's an area they're going to really need to focus on in the draft. So
it's the draft to focus on it.
Yeah. So that covers the defense. Let's shift over to the offensive side of the ball, and we can start at quarterback because he's the most high profile player on the offense that is on the chopping block. There's no way this
Nobody
guy comes
wants
back.
Him.
No way this guy comes back. They might. It seems like they're posturing a little bit, maybe because they're trying to trade for.
They're pretending. Well, they're pretending someone's going to give them like a conditional fifth, and that's not even happening with his contract.
Yeah, I couldn't see that. So, Yep. So there goes. So Tannehill, other players on offense, Danny Amendola. I don't think he comes back, even though he probably has some kind of connection to O'Shea and Flores from the Patriots.
I'd have no problem especially if you're running some kind of Patriot-esque offense. I mean, obviously, you know, I don't know what O'Shea's going to run, but I think they may keep Amendola just because of that, and I'd be fine with that. Parker, your boy Parker's gone.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Really? Let me look in my crystal ball. Oh, look at that. He's gone. when will Wilson be back to, like, is he supposed to be able to start training camp?
I think so, but yeah, that'll be interesting to watch.
But, you know, Wilson, Stills, Grant, those Amendola. Guys are back. Well, if Amendola's not back. But you
those
got
are
those.
Four small wide receivers. They're teeny tiny.
Yeah, but true. But
so anyway, I don't know. I mean, it'll be Devontae Parker is one that bears watching. I mean, he for his option to be picked up, it is a lot of money for a guy who hasn't produced.
He's not being picked up. That option's not getting picked up. I can promise you that.
And then looking at the offensive line.
Well, before that, we might as well stick with skill position. What happens with the ageless wonder, Frank Gore?
Oh, he's not under contract. He was on a
one-year
deal.
Was it a one-year deal?
Yeah. So, yeah, they're not bringing him back. I mean, no way, right?
I don't know. I mean, it would be just for locker room, but, you know, and so if
I know
he wants to play. He wants
to,
because he's still got some milestones to chase, and he can. I mean, he proved he's still capable of playing.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I would have no problem with him coming back, but I just don't see why. Like, he's a progress stopper for a team that's supposed to be in rebuild mode. Like, why are you going to? That just doesn't make sense to me.
Unless it's a locker room. You do want somebody to teach and, you know, it is nice.
Yeah, unless he's legitimately, like, not going to be the
featured back.
Featured back.
Which he shouldn't have been.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he played well enough. But, I'm not arguing the point. Okay. So, and then, all right, switching to the offensive line. So, Sitton is coming back from injury. He's a, you know, when he's healthy, he's one of the best offensive guards in the league. Whether or not he fits the scheme that they're going to be running, I don't know. I think that's a guy that gets cut. Kilgore is another one, the center that they brought in. I think he gets cut. I think offensive line and defensive line are going to be the main areas of focus in this draft.
But I don't know how you can cut any offensive lineman.
Pretty easily.
Well, that might be that will probably be better than the ones who you would put out there. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, but I think that's part of the, again, these guys are progress stoppers. They're not going to be part of the rebuild. Like, you're going to want to get young guys in there that learn how to play.
Not to keep going back to this well, something Madden has done extremely well this year. It's hard to get offensive linemen in the draft, and they're fake drafts.
Yeah.
It's not in years past. I'd just be able to redraft them. Now you look and there's like three good ones and they're gone in the top 10. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's why teams don't have good offensive lines. There's not.
No, because all the offenses in college football are spread offenses that don't
run
any pro style offense.
But there's also not 50 good offensive linemen in the league.
Right.
Like, really good.
Yeah. Because they're not being trained in college on how to block. So. Yes, agree there. I do think I think it's an area of focus, obviously. And then they have Juwan James is one that I would like to see them spend the money to bring him back. He's a solid offensive lineman. We were just literally just talking about how hard it is to find solid offensive linemen. I mean, if you're going to build, like, he's not at, you know, Xavion Howard's level of talent, like where he's a superstar in the league, but he's young and he's a very, you know, a good, capable player, and you have him and Tunsil on the, you know, as your bookends for your offensive line, at least, you know, it's just one less thing that you have to worry about. I would like to see them sign him and keep him because he's young and he's good.
I agree.
So I would like to see them keep him. Whether or not they do, that remains to be seen. And then the entire interior of this offensive line needs to be redone. Jesse Davis has shown promise as a guard, both on the left and the right side. He's young. He's cheap. I would think they would keep him. I think they need to find a guard and a center in this draft that are young that they can grow with. So that's kind of how I see, at least from a draft strategy. We know they're not going to do much in free agency.
So guard, center, defensive line, quarterback. I mean, that's those are four picks already.
No, I know. That's what they have to focus on.
But you're already in round four, unless you know.
I'm hoping they would do, and if again, all speculation, obviously. I've been on record as saying I would like to see them get one of the top quarterbacks in this draft. I feel like there's some value there.
But if you're trading up for them.
If you're trading up, then you're losing. You're losing the capital at the end. You know, obviously, there's a lot of things that need to happen. Like maybe they are able to get some end of the draft picks for, you know, some of these older guys that we're talking about. Maybe they're able to trade some of them and get something for them. We'll see. I would like to see them go. I'd like to see them go quarterback, defensive line, then offensive line, and then maybe, you know, late draft picks on both lines. So that's what I would like to see happen. And they've had Greer has had some success in the late rounds of the draft at getting some of these guys.
And honestly, I don't disagree with you, but I think I would put offensive line ahead of defensive line. I know we need it more, but just the way the league is going, I'd rather protect this young quarterback and like build that, and I'd rather lose 41-38 than watch this guy get destroyed.
That's fine. I'm not gonna argue. Both of them are major areas of need for this team. So yeah, and free agency. I mean, they're not gonna be big players. I would imagine Flores is gonna go out and try and get some guys that he's familiar with.
But not big players is good. It means you're not getting Le'Veon Bell. But it doesn't mean you're not gonna get some mid-level.
I'm totally fine. Player. I have Vegas has the Vegas odds, and this is ridiculous. They're the team that's favored to get Foles in free agency, which is
I saw that. That makes no sense
to me. And it's been repeated now. So
if they were close, like if this was. If this was 2 years ago and Tannehill went down, yeah, you know, with the prom, you know, instead of Cutler, you want to go and get a Foles.
No, like, even if Gase was staying, then yeah, sign Foles, draft a quarterback, you know, build around the team that you have, but that's not the case. That's not the narrative. I don't understand where this is coming from.
I mean, I don't know how. I mean, to me, it's the Jaguars, you know, maybe the Redskins, but. To me, the Jags are that team that just needs a competent quarterback.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then going back to like a lot of the way too early mock drafts that we're seeing coming out, I did see them. I can't remember which one it was. In one of the ones I saw this week, they landed in this mock draft. The Duke quarterback, is it David Jones or Daniel Jones? I can't.
Davy Jones's locker.
I think it's David Jones. That's who they landed. I've seen other ones that you know, a lot of the consensus is there's only going to be two quarterbacks that go in the top 10, which bodes well for the Dolphins. It seems to be Haskins and Murray are the ones that are going to be the first two off the board. A lot's going to happen between now and the draft.
It doesn't matter.
Seems like Elway is in love with the Lock kid, from what I understand. So
maybe that's the guy you like.
That's the one I like. So maybe they trade up. Maybe Denver.
But that's what I mean. Like,
but I don't think they're going to need to trade up because they're ahead of us anyway. So,
but they might have to trade up. But it doesn't matter if they're a top 10 talent or not. If a team is willing to get them in the first round, they're going to go into the top 10 to get them.
That's why I'm fine. Yeah, like, I'm
that's
fine
what
with
happened
that.
Last year. Those, you know, the third and fourth guys weren't really top 10 guys, but they ended up being top 10 guys.
Yeah, I didn't like. I mean, I liked, you know, Mayfield. I mean,
the Mayfield Darnold were like nobody was arguing with.
Still
those.
Not sold on Darnold.
I know, but the pick.
Yeah, well, I'm just glad he's not a Dolphin. Anyway, so yeah, I guess, I mean, obviously there's a lot of things that are going to happen between now and then, but. That was one of the mock drafts that I saw. I did have them getting Jones. Another one I saw was, again, Montez Sweat, who's an edge rusher from Texas A&M, who's allegedly had a fantastic Senior Bowl. And this draft is supposed to be very thick for defensive line. So that could be an impact player for them for a while. You know, they're probably going to do focus on, you know, best player available if none of those quarterbacks fall. I'm not very high on Kyler Murray. I just don't see it.
Oh, I mean, I see it, but I also see where it could go wrong. That being said, I'd just be happy with an exciting guy. So if it happened, I'm gonna be the optimist that I always am.
Jones is probably the least exciting guy of the quarterbacks that they're talking about being drafted in the first round.
Yeah.
I would lock to me, like watching the little bit of tape that I've watched, Locke is the one that I like the best. I think Haskins will probably be the first quarterback drafted, and might end up being the best quarterback of this class. But I just really like Locke's ceiling. I mean, the guy's arm is incredible, and you know, he put up some good numbers in a very tough conference against good competition. And yeah, I think he'll be the real deal. So, but I don't know if they'll land him or not, but that'd be great for me, you know, if they draft him.
It would match your Madden team.
That would be awesome. Yeah. I wouldn't have to restart my Madden team if, you know, when they draft Kyler Murray or who's the one you drafted?
That would be Lamar Raynard.
Let's hope that doesn't come to that.
Well, as long as they don't reach for him like I did when I took him in the fifth
round. So here's another thing before we got another break coming up, but before we get to that. So if it's not Tannehill, I mean, which it's not going to be Tannehill, and, you know, who is it going to be? Like, that's the thing. Like, if it's not Tannehill, they're not going to break the bank for somebody like Foles. I mean, are they handing the ball to, you know, are they going to make a play for a rookie? Like, what do you end up doing there? Because there are no quarterbacks on this roster. So we'll leave that for the break. When we come back, we'll pick up from there, and then we'll finish up, but that'll be what we close on. Your cat is really freaking me out.
All right, so when we come back, the cat is going to tell you who the starting quarterback is for your Miami Dolphins.
And we're back.
Oh, I actually heard the effervescent bubble.
Yeah, I switched to the sparkling instead of the still. All right. So this was actually pretty interesting. In all of our drunken pontificating about the Miami Dolphins and their offseason and the plans, we haven't really come up with who's going to play quarterback for this team. We're so busy saying who's not going to be quarterback. So assuming they don't get one of the quarterbacks in the draft, Tannehill is not coming back. We don't think they're really going to sign Foles. The free agent list of quarterbacks is the quarterbacks that exist on the roster outside of Tannehill are Luke Falk, who was a sixth round draft pick and
Luke
did not play at all last season, spent most of the year on injured reserve, was drafted by the Tennessee Titans. And then the Dolphins signed him off the practice squad. He, from what I could tell, was a good college quarterback, is a standard traditional pocket passer, tall, big arm, but doesn't move well. So there's Luke Falk, and then they signed Jake Ruddock, I believe, or Bullock or Ruddock off of the Detroit Lions team. He's thrown 5 passes in the NFL. So I don't think it's going to be one of those two guys.
Probably not.
So then after Foles, it's Bridgewater is the next big name, at quarterback for free agent. He would come cheaper than Foles for sure. He is from Miami. He played college football with Devontae Parker. After Bridgewater, there is quite a drop in the free agents that are available.
Oh, my God. I just had a terrible realization.
Yes. Are you going to share it?
Is Osweiler under contract?
He's not under contract. No.
Okay.
Yeah. No. He is one of the free agents that are available, though.
Woo! There we go.
So... yeah, I don't want that. I don't see that happening. You mentioned Josh McCown.
All right, so here's the other list of outside the top two, in quotes, of Bridgewater and Foles.
Ugh.
It's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
We've established he cannot be signed to this team because of the copyright of Fitzmagic. That would make Minka very, very angry.
I'd allow
there'd be a lot of locker room... there'd be a lot of dissent.
Honestly, I'd allow, if we're talking a rebuild year, I'd allow it just for the fun highs and
as
the
a stopgap.
And the thing.
I would be okay with it, but I don't think.
I mean, I don't think
Minka would be okay with it.
Oh, he's fine with it. Brock Osweiler, no. Tyrod Taylor.
I know you love Tyrod Taylor.
I did until I watched him play in Cleveland, and oh my God, was he terrible. But he's weird. When he was in Buffalo, he'd be weirdly exciting in the way he could move around and then throw that one long ball that hit. I don't... I after what I saw in Cleveland, I'm not very interested, but there's a little part of my heart that remembers watching him run around.
I don't think he'd fit in the type of offense that O'Shea wants to run.
This one, Josh McCown.
That's the one that you had stuck on. I don't know. I mean, I
don't think that's a terrible stopgap. I think he's better than people think he is when they hear the name.
So knowing this, I think, like, even before we really dove into this, like, I was already kind of sold on the idea of trying to draft a quarterback early.
I want to draft a quarterback, yes.
Yeah, so knowing this, now I'm even more
now
on
you
board.
Have to.
Yeah, now I'm, like, more on board with
this. Because it really drops off after McCown. You go Josh Johnson to Brett Hundley.
Man. Yeah.
And honestly, at this point, Kaepernick's too old to play anyway, regardless of whether he's blackballed or not.
I would be fine with him, honestly, like out of that list, but good Lord.
And then the other side of that are guys who haven't been cut or, I mean, I don't think
Blake Bortles.
It's the Blake Bortles, Flacco. I think one of the 49er quarterbacks, when Garoppolo comes back, you only need one backup between Bethard and Mullen.
Like, are you kidding me?
Well,
like,
I'm not talking about saviors. I'm talking about stopgaps.
Not
Luke Falk.
I mean, the term tanking has been mentioned. Like, I mean, I guess that there's been speculation that was talked about in the coaching hires. So, or the coaching interviews. Oh, man.
And that's why, and when you say, and like tanking, you're trying to win. Like, the players are trying to win. You're not spending your cap space on a guy like Josh McCown because he's better than Luke Falk. And you just go with Luke Falk because who cares?
There is not enough bourbon in the world to make me watch Josh Johnson play quarterback for this team on Sundays.
There's a lot of bourbon in the world.
Not enough, my friend. Not enough.
Actually, that's not true. There is enough bourbon. What there is not enough of is your liver function to keep you alive. To be able
for
to,
16 games for of Josh much, Johnson
for to process the amount of bourbon.
Oh Lord, yeah, that's a very. I was going to say sobering thought, but I'm not close to being sober, so.
I don't think you're close to a thought.
I'm just surprised, in all of our discussions, we haven't even really broached this one yet. So. Yeah, I mean, that's a scary, scary thought. Like, I mean, I just assumed that they were going to get one of the quarterbacks.
All right, here's the thing.
In the draft.
Let's say you can't get one of those guys. Would you give up pick 13 for Derek Carr?
No. And here's why. If you make that kind of trade for Derek Carr, and there's no way that they're going to do that. Like, that would be, you're hitching your wagon to Derek Carr.
No, I agree. And
like, maybe if Joe Philbin was here.
Well, and I think the main reason is you would rather one of these rookies.
I like Derek Carr.
Rookies would, you'd have 5 years on a rookie deal where Derek Carr is going to get paid. And the whole point of going with the rookie or the unproven is that you can spend your money elsewhere. So I agree. Like, if I was the Jaguars, I might do that. But I don't think I would if I'm the Dolphins.
So that's an interesting thing, too. Like, do we think this is, like, is it all smokescreen? Is it all pontificating about, like, them playing for the 2020 draft for a quarterback? Like, you know, like, I mean, honestly, because if you're going into the season with a Josh Johnson or a CJ Beathard or a, I don't even know the Mullen guy's first name, or even a
CJ.
Josh McCown. Or
they're all CJ.
Ryan Fitzpatrick will win some games for you, and it will be entertaining to watch.
And he will lose some for you
by
himself.
Oh, absolutely. He's going to lose a bunch. But if you're going into the season with one of those guys, like, you're really talking about maybe two wins for this team next year.
Ah, come on. This team can get to four wins easily.
Not with C.J. Beathard as the quarterback.
Play Adam Gase twice.
Oh, man. All right. So, obviously, that's the big question for the offseason for this team is who's going to be the quarterback next year. It's a long offseason. It just started. The staff hasn't even been finalized yet, which was one of the articles I was reading today. Really drove that point home about, like, what they're going to do with Tannehill. Like, they haven't even finalized the staff yet. Obviously, we don't think they're bringing Tannehill back, and there's no real reason to bring Tannehill back. So, Yeah, that bears watching. So, I don't know. Any final thoughts on this?
I guess
on who's leading this team on offense
in a weird, terrible way. If you can't get one of these young quarterbacks, if you can't get the quarterback of the future, and you're going and your choices to because and you're not going to spend for Bridgewater or Foles, so you're talking about.
I don't think Bridgewater is going to cost that much, honestly.
Well, somebody's going to pay him.
I really don't think so. Like, I think you'd be able to get him for like a $10 million one-year contract, probably.
Somebody's going to give him because they're not guaranteed. Somebody's going to give him a three-year contract. Somebody.
All right.
There's teams out there that think they're close.
And think Teddy Bridgewater's going to put you over the top.
Wouldn't the Jaguars be better with him?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
You might find out.
Yeah. So.
So, but what I'm saying is, what the hell? Why not pay Tannehill $17 million to stink next year if 2020 is your goal?
Because he's under contract for I think $26 million.
Oh my God! For real?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't even pay me that. And I would love $26 million.
There is enough bourbon in the world for me to watch you play quarterback for the Miami Dolphins next year. There's definitely enough bourbon in the world for that.
Oh my God.
That'd be fantastic. You didn't land the Packers job, but maybe
not.
Miami Dolphins starting quarterback next year.
I don't
year.
Even think I could hand it off. Like I probably couldn't get it from the center's ass to a running back's hand.
Your footwork is terrible.
Oh, so bad.
Yeah, I agree. So
I'm nervous just thinking about that.
All right. All right. All right. Enough of this. We'll be back. We'll be back next week and we'll talk more about things that are happening with the Miami Dolphins in the offseason. I did want
to
bring...
Are you committing right here to doing this next week?
Yeah.
You going to be good?
Yeah.
You're going to be a good boy?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, we'll do this next week.
So when we have nothing
this
to talk
fun.
About.
No,
is fun.
This is when we're going to start talking. This is when we're going to start talking
we're
about
We're here
nothing.
For you. You're going through Dolphins withdrawal. We're going through Dolphins withdrawal. We're doing this together.
So
we will be your fix.
Yeah. So here's how far off of the Dolphins train I'm going to go off of Miami
Whoa.
Dolphin football. I want to talk to you about the HBO series True Detective Season 1. I started rewatching
I'm like, you know, in the back of my head, I'm like, I hope he says season one because two was terrible. And
oh, two was awful.
Three.
I watched it when it was out. Like, it was amazing. So I decided to after I
downloaded the Yellow King, the book, The Yellow King.
Yes. So did I after season one.
I read a couple pages. Same here.
But no, I'm rewatching it. It's incredible. Like, it's probably I knew it at the time that it was really great television. And the reason I started rewatching from season one was because I wanted to get hype for season three. But season one is so good that I don't even think I want to watch season three.
Yeah, I'm not.
I mean, season two was the
I didn't
worst.
Watch season two. It didn't,
you didn't even watch
I
it.
I didn't even watch.
Oh, it.
Oh, it
was comically.
But
bad.
I haven't watched season three yet. Either.
But it wasn't a comedy. But it was
no.
But it was really funny. Like, it was funny.
It was who was the, it was
Colin
Farrell,
Farrell.
But who was the other
Vince
one?
Vaughn.
Oh yeah, God, I mean. Come on, what are you trying to do?
Oh, it was so bad. But no, season one is, I had forgotten how just amazing it was. Like, McConaughey and Harrelson are magic. Like,
yeah.
it's incredible. So I've been burning through that. That's, and it's awesome.
I haven't watched it since it came out.
Yeah, I would, for those of you that have seen it, I would definitely recommend watching it again. For those of you that haven't seen it, 100%, like, cannot recommend it high enough. Like, that is a fantastic small season of I think it's only 8 episodes. It's just incredible, though. It's very, very good, very dark, but the acting and the cinematography and the writing, it's just amazing. It's just incredible. So that's
nice.
Been cool. Yeah, so I've been really enjoying that. Super Bowl commercials, did you like any of the Super Bowl commercials? I'm getting hyped for Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, but I don't really, honestly, I don't pay attention to the commercials anymore.
Yeah, nothing really stood out other than Avengers Endgame.
It's become such a big deal that it's not fun anymore. Oh, well, that's not true. The end of my least favorite commercial, was Fantabulous.
What? Is Fantabulous a brand?
No. the brand that was Game of Thrones ending the Dilly Dilly guys.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
By burning them to death.
Yeah, that was
pretty
good.
That was amazing.
But they're not really dead. I'm sure they're still going to be doing Dilly Dilly commercials.
No, that should be the end of Dilly Dilly. The mountain smashing the Bud Light Knight's head in like he did to
Oberyn.
Oberyn and the dragon coming in and the music. I mean, I was like, wow, that's how you tie two things in.
Yeah, so I was rewatching Game of Thrones from the beginning, and I finished it I just finished it last week, and I still have months until the new season comes out, and
I saw it on Reddit. It was just like yesterday or the day before. It was like, if you start watching one a day from today.
Right.
So if you watch one a day from today, you might have to watch two or three on the last day.
Yeah, and you'll be caught up. So I was at, and sadly, I actually considered doing that again, but I'm not going to. I'm doing True Detective, and then I'm going to start Legion. I hear Legion is a fantastic show.
I loved season one. I just saw that I think Hulu has season two, so I'm going to watch season two.
Yeah. Hulu has both, right? Season one and two.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But I watched season one.
Yeah.
It might have been one like where I bought the thing on Amazon because I was like really excited, and it is really good. It's trippy, it's weird, and it's good.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back next week to pretend like we know what we're talking about what's happening with the Miami Dolphins offseason. Watch True Detective if you haven't seen season one. And if you have seen season one, watch it again. It's just amazing.
I'll be your quarterback.
I'd pay to see that. I'd pay you.